to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So I wonder if anyone else has noticed over the past several months as we have worked our way through Acts and Ephesians, now Galatians, even our reading of the book of Philippians this past Wednesday night. Have you noticed how different first century Christianity, first century Christians were compared to today's Christianity and today's Christians? In the first century, to believe the gospel, to follow Christ as Lord, it came with a guarantee of pain and suffering and persecution. And the believers knew this. They knew it going in, that to believe in Christ, it guaranteed for them hardship and suffering and persecution, but yet they were willing to pay the price. But today, Jesus is offered to people as a way to make all of their pain go away. Any sort of price for following Christ is downplayed, and all the benefits, especially physical material benefits, are emphasized. Now, I know some of the reason for this is the religious freedom that we have enjoyed, but maybe even more, there is this enamorization, really obsession, over ecclesiastical statistics, filling seats, counting decisions, counting baptism. Basically, look at us. Look at us. It's really all one big religious selfie. And since it's really hard to sell pain and persecution, since it's really hard to sell the fight of faith, the real price of the gospel, away with all of that negative stuff. We don't want to hear it. So churches and preachers don't preach it. But here's the thing. I don't think Jesus said, anyone who desires to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, except for 21st century Christians. I don't believe the Apostle Paul told Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, except for Baptists living in 2020. No, the Bible is absolutely, really astonishingly clear. Salvation, the gospel, oh, it's free, but it is not cheap. It will cost you everything. There is a great price to be paid for the gospel. So today we come to the final verses of Paul's letter to the Galatian churches. And it shouldn't surprise us, just like he got right to the point in the beginning of the letter, he is going to stay on the point all the way to the last verse. Let's read it. Galatians 6, we picked up the account in verse 11, or the text in verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. So, speaking of the price of the gospel, the price of the cross, Paul has something to say about that here at the end of this letter, doesn't he? He speaks of those that are unwilling to pay that price and the lengths they will go to avoid it, and we will see that in a minute. But he also talks about the price that he himself has paid, the price of the gospel that he himself has paid. Look again at verse 14. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. You understand what he's saying? The world is dead to me because of the Christ, and I am dead to the world. And then also look at verse 17. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. So what's this brand mark of Jesus that he is talking about? Well, a brand mark is a branding mark, or we might say it's a tattoo that was put on a slave. And Paul, his brand marks were obviously the marks left upon his body by the persecution he suffered for the sake of Christ. But get what he's saying here. He's saying, I carry in my body, on my body, the proof that I am a slave of Christ Jesus. I carry the authentic Christian tattoo. And it's not circumcision. The authentic Christian tattoo is persecution. It's persecution. So listen, saints, when Jesus said, all who will be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me, and when Paul said that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, they meant us too. All of us. There is a price to be paid for the true gospel. There is a price to be paid for the message of the cross by all and every Christian in every age. Matter of fact, if we have learned anything from this letter, we have learned that there is no middle ground with the gospel. It's either all of it or it's none of it. And that being the case, to believe and to proclaim and to obey the one true gospel is going to take from us a radical, unyielding, uncompromising stand from all of us. An uncompromising stand against the world, an uncompromising stand even against the religious world around us. And that stand, though today, for the moment at least in America, the persecution we see is the passive-aggressive sort. You know, they just look down their noses at us and beat us and kill us with their gossip. Beat us and kill us with their tongues. Because, you know, we are that church that believes in that election and predestination stuff. We are that church that they believe that they're the only ones that Jesus died for. And they're the only ones that are going to heaven. Which is lies. Right now, this is the price of the gospel for us. And compared to the Lord's churches and the Lord's people in history, it is a very small price. But it is a price nonetheless. But the question really is, are we willing to even pay this price? Really? Well, before us, in these eight verses, the final verses of Paul's letter here, there are several reasons why we should be willing, and really, why we must be willing to pay this price and boldly wear the authentic brand mark of Jesus, persecution. So let's dive in here. Number one. We must be willing to take an uncompromising stand for the true gospel of God's grace salvation, verse 11, because the true gospel of God's grace salvation, the true gospel of the cross, is that important. It is that important. Look at verse 11. See what large letters I am writing to you with mine own hand. The language Paul uses here in this verse tells us at least two things. unlike many of his other letters where he used a secretary to physically write his letter, this letter he physically wrote himself. And he did so with a large block style handwriting, a style of lettering that in this day was used for public notice or public announcement. In other words, his emphasis was content and not form. And why would he have gone to so much effort himself to write this letter and in such dramatic fashion? One reason. What he has written in this letter, which is nothing less than a defense of the true gospel, a defense of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Listen, the emphatic truth of this message is essentially and vitally important. The primacy, the purity of the gospel is essentially and vitally important. Heaven and hell are at stake. Souls living with God or living separated from Him forever are at stake with this message. It's that important. This message and none other. This message, the message of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the cry of the cross and the truth of Christ, this message is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. This message is the message that God uses to deliver sinners from the eternal wrath of hell. This message is the message that God uses as well to demonstrate His sovereign love for us and irresistibly draw us to Himself, to give us Himself forever. It's this message, y'all. It's the gospel that He uses to do that. Yes, there are many messages and many truths revealed in the Bible, but the gospel is the central truth. The gospel is the most vital and most essential truth. It's this message and not another. This message that adequately displays the glory and the splendor and the wonder of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, saints, whatever the price that we may pay for the proclamation and the defense of this message, it's worth it. It's worth it. Actually, because of this message, the message of grace salvation, whatever the price we may pay, whatever we may suffer, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us because of this message. So, church, we must take an uncompromising, unrelenting stand for the true gospel because it's that important. It's just that important. And that's not what Brother Tom thinks. Paul wrote it right here. Wrote this letter with his own hand and this sort of lettering to show us, to show this church first, but us through them. Listen, the gospel. Don't mess with the gospel. Don't mess with the gospel. It's that vital. It's that important. We must know the truth of the gospel. We must stand upon the truth of the gospel. It's that important. Number two, we must be willing to pay the price for the true gospel because of the desire of false teachers. Because of the desire of false teachers. Look at verse 12. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you, force you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised don't even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. So these false teachers in Galatia, they were promoting, if I could put it like this, they were promoting circumcisional regeneration. Unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. That's what they were preaching. That's what they were teaching. But we realize that circumcision is not really an issue today in Glenville, right? Or in America, for that matter. But decisional regeneration is. Baptismal regeneration is. Even doctrinal regeneration is, and all of these teachings are exactly the same at their foundation as circumcisional regeneration. They all add to Christ. Well, no, really, actually, they all take away from Christ. They all take away from Him. They take away the glory of His absolute sufficiency. And do we see here who gets this stolen glory? Who desires it? The false teachers. They refuse to preach the true gospel and thereby receive persecution for such because, well, really at the heart of what Paul's saying, they're above that. They're above that, and they want to retain their religious status. And they force their hearers into the false teaching so they can boast in their following. In other words, if I preach my religious notions and I compel others to follow me in my religious notions and what I think, well, hey, I'm pretty great. Look at me and look at everybody that's following me. I must really be something. But if I preach the gospel of grace, if I preach Christ alone as the only Savior and people believe, well, you know what? I'm just a servant doing what is the duty of a servant of a slave to do. I don't have anything or anyone to boast in except Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm going to be very transparent with you. Our flesh, even maybe especially preacher's flesh, we have a really hard time giving all the glory to Christ. Oh, I know we can all say it with our big mouths, but we have a really hard time. Listen, I'm just being open with you. We have a really hard time giving all the glory to Christ. We want a following. We want a following. We want success. We want numbers. We want everyone to tell us how great that we are. We want everyone to like our Facebook posts. How many countless preachers' ministries have been destroyed because of the desire for glory? And how many more have never really begun, even though they think they have begun, but they never really have because they refuse to give Christ the glory that is His. And you know what glory is Christ? It's all of it. I know we all know people and preachers and teachers that we wish that wasn't true of. And we desire for them and should desire for them that they know the truth and preach the truth and teach the truth. But know this, until by God's grace that happens, they are and they will remain to be enemies of the gospel. Therefore, we must remain faithful to the gospel of grace salvation, even if the price is great, because the glory of Christ is at stake. Do we understand the glory of Christ is being stolen in the pulpit of churches? Christ is everything, y'all. Do not add to Him, because when you add to Him, you take away from Him. And you'll not take it away from Him. Oh, we may do it in this lifetime, but there is coming a day when we will stand before Him and we will see Him as He is. And you know what's going to happen then? Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that, Lord Jesus Christ, You do own all the glory. Salvation is and has always been all of the Lord. Number three, we must remain faithful to the true gospel, verse 14, because of the cross. We must remain faithful to the true gospel because of Christ. Look, but may it never be that I would boast, Paul says, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world is dead to me and I am dead to the world. Let me say it like this. Christ Jesus, the very Son of God, was crucified. He died for you. He died bearing your sin in His body on the tree, saints of God. Will you not be willing to die? Will you not be willing to give yourself for him? Lost sinner, now redeemed saint, hell-bound rebel, now child of God, has Christ not earned your supreme love and allegiance? Does his glory, does who he really is, the truth of Jesus, does it actually mean something to you? Hasn't he earned? Look at him on that tree, that psalm we just said, says to look to Christ, look to the cross, look to the crucified Christ, look at him in faith today. He's not there anymore, but we have it in the recording of it in his word. We have God told us exactly what happened there. Look to God's word. Look what Jesus did for you. Has he not earned your defense of his gospel glory? Oh, yes. Yes, he has. His blood has bought it. But are you willing to pay the price to give it to him? Are you willing to pay the price to give it all to him? Number four. We must stand by the gospel glory of God's sovereign grace, verse 15, because it is the truth. Because it is the truth. Look at verse 15. For neither is circumcision anything, nor is uncircumcision anything, but a new creation. Circumcision cannot save you. Your decisions and your prayers cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. Doctrine, what you know, cannot save you. Orthodoxy cannot save you. Law keeping cannot save you. But do we know why? We know why? Because salvation was not, is not, nor will it ever be about what you can do. It is about what God can do. It is about what God has done and is doing in and by and because of His Son, Messiah Jesus. It's always been about what God has done and what God can do and who God is. It's never been about, and it will never be about, what you can do or what you have done. God Himself, who is life Himself, He must Himself conquer your death with life. You can't do it. You're dead in your sins. We were all dead in our sins. There was nothing we could do to attain life when we were dead. No, God had to do it. And He did it through the Spirit of life, who makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. He did it all by free and sovereign grace. All by free and sovereign grace are you saved, through faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith, even the faith is not of yourself. It is the free gift of God. It's not of works, because if it is of works, we would all boast about what we did, what we're doing. No, we are God's workmanship. We are like putty in His hand. And He has created us in Christ Jesus for good works. He has, God has, God alone has, for primarily God alone, His glory. This is the truth. Why do I stand by God's grace? Why do I stand here and proclaim grace, 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 Christ, Christ, Christ? Because that's the truth. Because it's the truth according to God. It's the truth of His Word. You take the whole sum of this Word, you study it through, and when you're through, what you're going to find, if the Spirit is living in you, is it's all about God. It's all about Him. The world, the religious world, even the religious world around us in Glenville, they believe that the book is really about them. It's not about them. We are peripheral. It's about God. The only reason we have a part in it, because by God's grace, we get to know Him. He has chosen to allow us to know Him and thereby glorify and praise Him and enjoy Him forever. We must stand without wavering for the gospel of grace salvation. When we do, we will stand for the truth. When we do, we will love the truth. Number five, we must not waver from the truth of the gospel, no matter what the price. Verse 16, because only when we walk in and are walking in the truth of the true gospel can we actually rest in the justifying peace and saving mercy of God. Look what verse 16 says. And those who will walk by this rule, the rule of verse 15, circumcision, neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision anything, but a new creation. In other words, we're not saved by us. Salvation is not of you. It's all of God and all of grace. And those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. In other words, saints, if we are willing to compromise the true gospel, hear this. Hear what Paul's getting at here. If we are willing to compromise the true gospel, do we really even believe it? Isn't it apparent? Absolutely apparent by what we see all over the Bible, what God has been showing us repeatedly for months now, that if we truly know, if we truly believe the gospel, if we truly know the true Christ and His gospel glory, we will not compromise. No, we will die for it. We've seen it all throughout these letters. Matter of fact, doesn't Scripture even tells us that we are the disciples of Christ if we continue in the faith. That means you don't compromise the faith. You don't walk away from the faith. You don't leave the faith. You stand upon the true faith. True faith is the gospel grace, salvation of God. That is the true faith of God's Word, the true truth of the gospel. If we truly know and believe the gospel, if we truly know the true Christ and His gospel glory, we'll not compromise. We will die for it and die for Him. We've seen example after example after example of this truth. If we are willing to compromise the true gospel, we must ask ourselves, do we really even believe it? Lastly, number six, we must fight for the purity of the true gospel. We must fight for the absolute sufficiency of Christ. Verse 18, because, oh, how we need grace. Look at verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. We need grace. We need God's grace. You need God's grace. Do we know ourselves good enough to know? Has the Spirit of God revealed to us? Has He shown us the reality, the true reality of our depravity and wretched sinfulness clearly enough for us to understand without question that if salvation is not all of grace, we will never be saved? If salvation is not all of grace, y'all, there is no hope for any of us. Because every single one of you and every single one of me have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only way that God can save us and be the righteous and holy God that He is if He saves us by pure and sovereign grace. If salvation is not all of grace, we will never be saved. If salvation is not all about the sufficiency, if it is not completely founded on the sufficiency and merit of Jesus Christ, what else could it be founded upon? Do you think it's, how can it be founded upon you? You, most religious, most legalistic, most, I am so great, you're a sinner. God's salvation can't be founded upon you. If it is not completely, totally founded in the sufficiency, the all-sufficient Christ and the merit of Christ, there's no, absolutely no hope for us. If it is in one place, if it is in one place about us and our sufficiency and our ability and our merit, we're doomed. Hasn't Paul told us? Oh, you want to think it's all about you? Okay, you want your salvation rooted and founded all on you? Then you've got to keep the whole law. You've got to keep it perfectly. Well, I got 10 up here, and not one of us has ever kept it perfectly. I got 10 up here that every single one of us has broken completely. Completely. That's just 10. If salvation is not all of grace, none of us will ever be saved. If it's not all completely about Jesus Christ, there is not a soul on the face of the earth that has ever or will ever be saved. Oh, does your soul not constantly cry out, child of God, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Doesn't your soul cry out to God, God, give me grace, not just on a daily interval, momentarily interval, moment by moment interval, God, give me grace. I need your grace or I perish. Your grace, God, your pure, sovereign, unmerited, unearned favor, or it's hell for me. Without salvation by grace, the only kind of grace there is, y'all, free, sovereign, God's gift of grace, there is no salvation. There is none. So saints, we must stand. We cannot compromise. We cannot waver. We cannot relent. We must stand for the gospel, whatever the price, or what else is there? There is, and there will be a price. It's guaranteed to us. Just as surely as you were chosen, saint of God, for salvation, you were chosen to suffer for Christ's sake. That's Scripture. So, let me ask you, did God choose you in His marvelous favor, in His wonderful grace? Did God set His love upon you and choose you to be His child, His adopted child, even before the foundation of the world? If you don't believe that, I can go and show it to you. Yes, He did. It's clearly taught in God's Word, emphatically taught in God's Word, because that's what grace is. Well, if He chose you, if you're His, He's also chosen you to suffer for Him. So there will be a price. There is a price. Maybe it will be ridicule. Maybe it will be slander. Maybe it will be loss of relationship. Maybe it'll be the physical branding marks of persecution. Even perhaps it will be death. Whatever it is, whatever it will be, we must be willing to pay the price. Because the gospel is that important. Because the true Christ is that worthy. He is that worthy. And only the truth is sufficient to declare His surpassing glory. Only the truth, in the truth, only there is there hope of real salvation for sinners. Only there. So yes, indeed, Paul, may God give us grace. May God give us grace to stand and willingly, even gladly, pay the price of the gospel. May God help us to line up behind these saints of Christ, behind these children of God from the past. Line up and stand for Christ. Stand for His sufficiency. Stand for the truth of gospel grace salvation. May God help us. Let's pray.